Welcome to the Hour of Truth again, such as we are. I have Phil on the right, I have Scott on the right, and James on the left. So,
way out in left field.
Way out. We've probably just used that one, so it's unusable, but...
He's about 2 to 3 hours... No, 3 to 4 hours... Driving time. So if you flew, we'd get there a lot quicker.
If you got your helicopter.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
You could pick me up and then bring me home every Sunday.
That would be so cool.
Well, there would be some picking up involved. Picking is probably going to be picking Philip up off the ground. Out of the wreckage. Just saying. I just don't see him getting all the way to your house. I just don't see it happening.
I was practicing this morning on my video game.
Oh, okay.
This had guns and missiles attached to it, too.
You have a flight simulator booth, Phil?
Oh, no, it's not flight simulator at all. It's Medal of Honor. Picked up for $9. It was awesome. Two buttons. I believe it's really going to be a lot harder with a real helicopter, but hey,
just bring your controller.
Yeah, there you go. Guys, I got this. If you hear me say I got this, get out.
Time starts shearing the wool. Just saying.
Oh, good point.
Just keep fresh batteries in the remote.
All right, let's do this.
Making some adjustments here?
Yeah. Adjustments that I forgot to make before.
Okay.
Found that.
Well, I hope that the adjustments work.
Well, they've been working right along, so we'll have to see how they're doing. Apparently, Angie, one of the least necessary things to hear, at least she heard some of what we were saying, so some of it was working some of the time, so that's good. Sheep shearing, we were talking about before the show there. There's a whole lot of, you know, as you were telling the story about that sheep.
Yeah.
It's so similar to how we are, because sheep gets running around doing its own thing for how long?
This particular sheep was 6 years.
Six years. Story. A lot of stuff had jumped on it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how we are. We get to whatever point in our life where we're at least listening to the gospel and listening to the presentation of it. Whatever point that is in our life, we've been running around there. All kinds of stuff has jumped on us.
Yeah. Tangled up. And
all kinds of stuff.
Just looking at my life, I laugh because you're looking at my life. I mean, I can see it now. The sheep come back, what happened to you? You know, and I come back with this situation I am in this last go around. He's like, what happened to you?
Oh, good. Jeff heard it all, too. That's just really encouraging. I'm glad all our nonsense was heard. I just started the player without the proper audio settings, so I'm hoping that it's all loud and clear now. The breadth and depth of all the implications of what, if we say we abide in him, we ought also to walk as he walked. That's a problem because it takes more than one session to address. It's like, sure. Like I said, how many people in how many churches are studying Jesus and how he walked so that they can imitate him in how he walked, how he ministered,
Well, probably not many. And that's the issue. Because if you start looking at how he walked, But it's in stark contrast to how your flesh wants to walk.
That you are right. And how I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if you're not doing it his way, then you're not doing it right.
No, you're doing it your way.
Yeah. I mean, he had a heart for the people. And, you know, you think of the woman at the well and the prostitute in John 8, the woman, the Gentile woman who, you know, responded to him when he said, it's just not meat to give food off the table to dogs. And she said, but Lord, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get to eat of stuff that falls on the floor. He was able to receive her humility, and she was able to receive her request. And his comment about her was, what? I've seen no greater faith than this, the law of Israel? He say something like that?
Something like
he
that.
He did.
You pulling it out?
Yeah.
You want me to pull it out?
There'd be much
whichever fast, whichever is faster, that would be a good thing.
Scotty's faster.
Where were we? Book, chapter, anything? I'll just search it.
I believe it was in John.
I know where he said the one thing was, I have not seen so great a faith, not in Israel, was one with the centurion. That, Lord, trouble us not, I'm not worthy for you to enter in underneath my roof.
Mark 7.
Yeah, the centurion.
The centurion, and he said, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I have one of an authority, I tell
to go, he goes, to come, and he cometh. Yeah.
And he understood the authority of what Jesus walked in. And that Jesus had the authority to heal his servant. And he did it because he loved his servant.
Sure.
It mattered to him.
Yeah.
Not only did he
do it because he was worried he wasn't going to get his tea that night. He did it because he cared for.
And you have two things working in there. He had faith in the authority that Jesus had. The other thing that he had working for him was love for his servant. Combine those two. I remember it wasn't too long ago, Davey was talking about love and faith. They're hand in hand.
Yeah, and you know.
But that's a different, what we were talking about. So
well, we were talking about how Jesus ministered. So, I may have gotten the end of that one wrong. But
right here, it's Mark 7. Do you want me to read the whole thing so we...
Just read what he said to her after she, but just read the exchange.
The whole thing? Alright, 26.
Yeah.
The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed.
Yeah. She, for this saying, she was humble. Yeah. She was humble. And that...
She didn't argue with him.
She was humble. And she was humble enough to hear that and recognized who she was.
And
who he was. And who he was. I mean,
today, if you ministered like that to somebody in one of these churches out here, they'd run you off.
Absolutely.
You called her a dog. That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? I didn't call the righteous to repentance, but to repentance, but sinners.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, there was only one that was righteous there. That was him.
Sure, but see, the thought that they were righteous felt justified in what he said.
And he wasn't, and they weren't going to receive the good things that he had because they sought themselves as righteous. And the point that I'm bringing to that, with that point is, you say that in one of those churches today, like you said, oh, he called her a dog. I mean, shoot, I think if you did it here even, oh, he called her a dog. But that's the point of that self-righteousness.
Some,
well, then who?
People, yeah, you're right.
Who do you think you are? To him, that's all. Something. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and you know, that's not a good line to be following down.
These are the things we need to be shed of.
Amen.
The whole body of Christ.
Because that whole thing, you know, gets back to judging your authorities and you know, how I know about this is because I've been there. I've been there. Done it. It stinks to be me. Because you can't receive anything from the Lord. And the best you can hope is he's merciful and that judgment doesn't come back on me. And it will. I'm hoping, you know, in real time though. I mean, as I move on in the Lord, there's going to be people do the same thing to me. And I will. You know, a servant's not greater than his master. If they hated you, they'll hate me. They hated me, they'll hate you too. You know, if they obeyed me, they'll obey you. So it is, Paul Muller paraphrase there, but it is, your servant's not greater than master. The washing the feet in John 13. One of the many times we have in Scripture, which is, this is your example, I'm doing this to show you how it's done. And, you know, he's taking the dirt, all the stuff that's jumped on their feet off of them. That's what we as ministers minister to one another. We take, and that's what provoking one another to love and good works is. And another verse we looked at this week, I don't remember, I looked at it, I don't remember if we were actually near it, but yeah, it talks about being provoked to love and good works. But there's an example in Peter about it, there's an example, there's a command to Timothy by Paul to be an example. And this, that when you consider as a minister, this is serious business, and they're watching you because you've been put there as an example. That's why Timothy was charged in that same manner as Paul, as I have been an example, so you walk in the same way. So another Paul Muller paraphrase, but you know, it's not, Timothy's not a long book. It's two of them. They're pretty small. You can read it for yourselves. Peter is also not a long book. It's in 1 Peter, I believe, about the examples. Pull it up. I can tell you where it is. 1 Timothy 4:12 and 1 Peter 2:21.
You want me to read 4:12 or anything?
You can.
It's up to you. It's helpful. Got it right here. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to continue. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands.
An example of obedience. be an example of faithfulness, of commitment. Be an example of how a minister is. Right? That's really what's going on there. 1 Peter 2:21. And that, you know, that proverb that you had going on there was really on point. If you're not going to turn up my reproof, I'll laugh at your calamity. It stinks to, it, you know, not receive. It isn't. You know, it isn't our natural state to want to do any of that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to receive that reproof. It doesn't feel good. Like Steve was saying, this almost testifies against me. It's not what I want to do, but I have to submit myself to the Lord in Philippians. To willing to do His good pleasure, and my heart isn't there, right? And I say it this way: my heart hasn't been there much of the time, and I'm. That's also something that He's got to fix, and then I have to choose to believe that He's fixed it and walk in it, and I believe He has fixed it. So the rest of it is now on me. To do. To find out what His good pleasure is and to do it. Every time I have an opportunity. Well, we're done.
Well, you were talking about the shearer there and you come into Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you were just talking about that, that when that those buzzards comes out, man, that shearing comes out was what you're essentially talking about, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh, that's uncomfortable. Let's get off of me. Yeah. You walk away. Praise God. Thank you.
Freedom released.
Yeah,
clean.
My goodness, that was a weight on me, Lord. That was burden on me. I couldn't hear. I couldn't see. Thank you. I can hear. I can see now.
Sure.
But that the Lord's a gentleman, we're going to submit unto that. It's us to decide to submit unto that process.
When that sheep comes into that place, this is the first opportunity I've ever had to actually use this phrase. It looked like somebody had pulled the wool over his eyes. And he got to cut the scales away. He got the growth from here away. So he could, could see again. The sheep could see again. Us people who were city folk. We don't know all of the vernacular of the shepherd.
You're doing fine.
Oh no. No, you're the master in that one, in the room, because no one tells the rest of us.
Maybe in the room.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's going to be, and it might be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable for your flesh. It's going to be uncomfortable for these, but what freedom and the belief of that you put your eyes on Jesus, where in Him is light and there's no darkness at all. These things are for your good, for your freedom.
Right.
And when you go through it, and you know, hitting Hebrews for chastising doesn't seem to be joyous for that moment. But it yielded what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness? And it's one of those things where it might be uncomfortable for that time, but what it comes to brings about is a fruit and freedom. And release of bondage. see, you can hear. And really what's important, you know, you're talking a little bit, Paulie, about laying your will down at the altar. And if you first don't do that, then you can't take upon His will. And you think you're going to walk as Jesus walked, you're not going to do it. But you first got to lay down your will at the altar there.
Yeah, that's the toughest emulation of Christ is, Father, not my will, but thine.
And what you get then is then the shearing process that happens. You get the wools off your eyes. You get the wool off your ears so you can hear. So what is it that you're seeing and hearing? His will for you to do. Mm-hmm. And see, it's not about your ability in doing those things. It's not about how your ability or your shortcomings or any of those things that can keep you from hearing and seeing those things for you to do, is because it's all about Him and what He's able to do and perform. And it's the choice that you make there at that point, and He meets you there as you step out in faith to do them.
It's
because serious. You can do what? All things, what? Through Christ that strengthens me. Because you're doing them by His Spirit, His love, His way. Not your own. It doesn't matter what your shortcomings are, inabilities, or what your abilities are, all those things doesn't matter. Because then you're operating in His power, His might. That's when you're walking as Jesus walked. I mean, when David killed Goliath, he didn't do it out of his own might.
Nope.
When the walls came tumbling down, they didn't do that out of their own might. Nope. Red Sea opened up. They didn't do that with their own might.
When they went after those armies, they only had a handful of guys. Victory wasn't because they were a strong group. Because they had the Lord with them.
Amen. And you know, when Peter turns to that blind man at the gate, silver and gold, or crippled man, I don't know which one
silver
it was.
Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, I give freely.
In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk, I believe he says, yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong. He didn't do that out of his might. And then he went to go share the gospel. Don't look on us like by our might or by our power we have done this thing.
And he showed an expectation. He expected that to work. He snatched him up and said, go. Now.
And the guy received it.
Uh-huh.
Because he stepped into it.
The word says his legs, his bones straightened out like that. Yeah. Instantly.
So as we go, we have opportunity as we go forward to workplace, home, ministering to others. Gosh, I can do none of those things. None of those things in my flesh, by my own ability, by my own strength. None of those things.
A lot of times in the scary place of, go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But we can do those things in Christ, because Christ can do those things.
Yeah.
And so, if we be in Him and He can do those things, then we can do those things in Him. Mm-hmm. And see, that's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, when we go about...
We don't spend any time dwelling on the fact that the things He did, we're supposed to be doing, the things He did the way He did, greater things than these will you do, because I go to the Father.
And that did happen. Did that not? Remember when Paul prayed on the handkerchief? Turned it out. People who touched it were healed.
That Peter or Paul?
Paul, sorry.
He said Paul.
It was Paul.
He said Paul. Yeah,
okay.
Peter was the shadow.
It was the shadow as he walked by. The shadow overstepping him.
Touched.
Or, yeah.
Because of what they'd seen, they had an expectation they were going to receive when his shadow passed over them. Bad expectation. So they lined up to receive it.
And see, and the everyday thing that is set for us to do is, everything, the things we have set up to do is that, I mean, there's no way we can sit there and say we're going to have faith for that, for us to meet him up in the air when he's calling, if we don't have the simple faith, this faith to go, the faith in Him and what He's able to do, and going forward in our everyday life.
Yeah. The faith,
going to work and
to go meet Him up in the air is the same faith that delivered us salvation. It's His faith.
Faith, absolutely.
Because He was righteous. It's His faith because He knew the outcome. It's His faith that delivered us. It'll be His faith that delivers us in the air. And us haven't walked in it.
But if we don't start walking in that now and just in those other areas, mm-hmm. what makes us think that we're going to be able to, what makes us think we're going to be in that place when He comes to calling in the air?
Pride.
Huh?
Pride.
Pride.
That's
You're right.
What makes us think that.
Right. But the truth of the matter shows us the truth of the matter, because that's all a lie.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter shows us in these everyday things where we're at. Right. Honestly, where we're at.
Sure, and if you get rid of that pride and you actually see where you're at, that should scare you.
Absolutely.
And motivate you
enough,
to...
You know, the Lord, you always justified myself in times past, many years back, that, you know, the Lord graded me on a curve.
Sure.
Because I was...
You got your own little scale.
Yeah, I got my own little list there going.
Yeah.
And you know, I do this good thing here, and that weighted against that curve, that kind of lifted.
This one was so good, it actually took 1.6 off the other side.
That's right. People live in that la-la land. And that's how some churches operate. But they teach. But the curve, and there is a curve involved here, but it's a learning curve. And while you're learning and want to receive, His grace is on you. His grace is on you. Because you're not going to get it all in one sitting. It took a while. It's going to take a while. Yeah. Go ahead, James.
What you're saying there, how people live that way, is going back to what you said was one of the verses that scared you the most, where it's, unless your righteousness exceed the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you're trying to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and you think that you're serving the Lord, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and when you actually look at that, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of
the Pharisees. It's impossible.
But it's impossible, and that's why... it's impossible, but that's why it's not about your righteousness or the righteousness is of the scribes or Pharisees. It's about His righteousness, because His righteousness exceeded that above and beyond.
And the thing is, if it was possible, God wouldn't have had to send Jesus.
Right. That's right.
And people still try to achieve that.
Yeah. Let me tell you a thing. You know, I had on 200 occasions probably said some version of the sinner's prayer. And I kept having the expectation that I was going to feel better, feel different, or be better able to do the stupid stuff that I was seeing these people do that I had no interest in doing. And, you know, Christians always singing hymns and stuff like that. I used to read some of the stuff in the Episcopal hymnal. I couldn't figure out what would possess anybody to write a song like that. I just didn't get it. So what was wrong with them that they got that contemplative of who God was and how He was? I don't know. So the point is, but kind of in what I said today, I didn't get full disclosure. And if you get all that stuff up front, then you have to make a choice. But I never got... Never... Until I read a book, and the book was How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Not about you, it's about Jesus.
Amen.
And the
you had never heard the truth.
Completeness of what He did. And you're still on a learning curve. I'm still on a learning curve, and I'm receiving some of this knowledge as I can take it. But that's where there's not full disclosure. Because you can't take it all at once. It'd kill you.
And remember that scripture, but God giveth more grace
to the humble.
Resisteth
the proud.
Not that one. I think
the average person couldn't take it all at once.
And His grace covers you as you go forward, as you take heed to those counsels, as you wanting to serve Him. Because let's face it, you're going to screw up. You're going to mess up. In fact, us screwing up, messing up, are the biggest ways we learn.
It doesn't have to be, but it is. And when you do screw up and you mess up, you're kind of like that sheep. You got yourself tangled up. You come back to the body. You come back to your ministry. You come back to your discipler. Essentially, back to the Lord, back to the fold. And you get cleaned up.
Amen. And what I'm talking about, I mean, it's kind of like the best description I can think of is the story that Steve tells. Where he was gung-ho to not miss a Bible study. He would drive, 80 miles per hour through snow or whatever.
Whatever.
And he was just, going forward. And, in his mind that, man, that was it. He's being diligent, wants to serve the Lord. But what the Lord showed him, that it was all pride. It was all pride. And it was then at that point he was like, oh my goodness, I am doomed. And what does Davey have him do? Lead worship in the midst of these things. So, the thing was, but God giveth more grace, because it didn't mean that all the things that Steve put his hand to, the Lord didn't use. It didn't mean that the Lord didn't cover Steve through the midst of those things, and did not negate Steve or cast him out or any of those things. No, at that time, the Lord showed him and revealed it to him at that time when he was ready.
He might not have felt ready.
It might have not felt ready, but when he was ready, so then at that time, it was that thing which he can say, okay, and go forward in a better way. And I don't know about me, about you guys, and I'm confident with you guys as well as with me in these things. It's the same way. Go forward in this. You think in this direction is the right direction. Then all of a sudden, and as I bring these things up, it's not the right direction. And it was actually not a good working at all. And I'm going, oh my goodness, okay. But did the Lord cover me through that? Yes, He did.
Yeah.
The Lord taught me something better and how to deal with that thing better. His way, not mine. And that's what struck me, Paul, when you were talking about that learning process that we go through. That shedding process. That shearing process. I quite frankly believe that's an all-life thing. It's like the purifying of the gold or silver, heated up to get those infirmities and impurities out of that silver and gold, and then it cools back down and scrape those things off the top. Mm-hmm. We're like that silver, get heated up, all these impurities and all these things are coming up out, and then we give them unto the Lord. We cast those cares upon Him because He cares for us, and He takes them out of the way. As scripture says, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. And then these things are, it's a freeing thing. Get more shed of the garbage and more, learn more to walk as He walked.
Amen. That's the only showing that you have that you're walking in Him. That you're abiding in Him. You're in His body. That's the only thing. If you're not walking as He walked, what testimony do you have? What testifies that you're in His body? Nothing.
Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, that's a scary thing. I see where I'm at. I see how the Lord walked. I go, whoa.
There's some distance to cover.
That's right. And then I look, and I don't even have to go all the way to Jesus. Look at David. Look at Steve, Ricky. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, oh, I mean, I'm not even going to the mark, which is the one that we ought to be looking at. Yeah. Yep, you can even go to the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Paul, Peter. On and on. They're on samples of faith, but that's where, man, the Lord is faithful and just, you and the Lord is able. He's well able.
You see, the, you know, the testimony in Hebrews about Abraham, and the testimony of Jesus about Abraham, John chapter 8, as I said, we'd be not enslaved by anyone. We'd be Abraham's children. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. That was acceptable.
Yeah.
You're of your father, the devil. That wasn't acceptable. But, you know, if you needed any commentary about Abraham's position, it was there when Jesus said, oh, you were Abraham's children, you do the deeds of Abraham. You did not the deeds of Abraham.
So, what was the report of Abraham? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And the other scripture says imputed unto him as righteousness. Because he believed him. And what showed that he believed God? He offered Isaac.
And that was, you know, the disconnect with me with all of the sinner prayers was, this is just going to have to be something I believed. I had to receive what the testimony of the Word was, which was, is by faith, He has saved me. Now, it's going to take some time for that to look like it's done anything to me. It took way too long. But that was the disconnect, because my belief was going to be based on the difference in the way I felt, or the difference in the way, you know, the things I wanted to do. I was expecting a difference. How? Because I was testing all these other people.
You're looking at the scoreboard and it ain't changing.
Yeah.
It's, and, you know, that's where the flesh is such a liar, but that's where, you know, I mean, we could sit there on Sundays. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. And then he goes, go and do such and such. Whoa, hold on. Yeah. Hey, well, then you don't believe me.
Well, what's the difference between walk as I walk they just speak what I spoke?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One, you're just talking. One, you're actually doing it.
And what shows, and there's many instances. Last night's the one. Oh, my. I can go a lot of things where service or whatever the thing that the Lord has me to do at hand, and I look at and I go, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like doing this, and I am struggling to go forward, and this is the last thing I want to be doing. And I don't see how I'm ever going to get through this. I'm ever going to be able to get through this, or through this day, or through whatever it is that he has me to do. But all those are feelings and lies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I go, okay, you know what, Lord? You're bigger than all this. It's about you and how big you are. And when I might not feel like it, I might feel lower than dog doo-doo, the maggot eating it. You know what I mean? I might feel lower than crap, but then you give these things unto the Lord and you're praying. You might not feel any different, but as soon as you go step forward into that thing that he has you to do, bam, bam, opens right up for you. It opens right up for you. The scripture opens up, or whatever the thing is that you're doing, the work, the things open right up for you. And it's better than you ever thought or imagined it could be. And
it's kind of with me, like, in a sort of fashion, as Jesus was dealing with Peter at the end of John. Because, you know, Jesus was, do you copy me? He says, oh, sure, I filio you. And, you know,
yeah,
that's the way that thing goes. I'm sure he won't notice. Right. We're not using the same word.
Right.
I'm sure he won't notice.
He took that within me that was true about what I did believe. I don't know why I did, but I believe the Bible was the Word of God. And I never could see myself reading it and understanding it or applying it in any particular practical way, but I started reading it. Because probably somebody suggested that somewhere along the line, and when I finally started doing it, it was... might have been in conjunction with reading that book, How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Kind of went through Romans. And
I was going to say, there's a similar book. It's called The Bible. Yeah. You can just read that and it tells you about how
being a Christian. I took some help going through Romans.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of that I already knew.
Yeah.
Because I had read it before. And that's where I jumped some time. Get back to the book I read.
Sure.
But the book, it did minister to me. Because well, I had a lot of confusion going on. False expectations. And, there's a book I might recommend, but I recommend this one first.
Amen.
This is a good one. If you believe it's His Word already, and you read it and ask Him to reveal it to you, He'll open it up to you. And you don't need somebody else's book.
Amen. And a lot of times,
too.
Yeah, and then
sure.
A lot of times clarity will come from, you know, either, you know, doing a Bible study. I've read and things have been opened up. I do, you know, and I've read, for example, Hebrews many times. I listened to it many times, but we're going over Hebrews right now and Tuesday night's Bible study. There's all still different kinds of points. It's the living word, and it opens you up, and it shows you. And it's not just, man, I mean, when the Spirit of the Lord can show you so many things in all different kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a show or something, or a TV show or a movie, never intended to be spiritual, never intended to be, it's just meant to tell a story. But what happens is the Lord shows me points in those things,
sure,
that are good points.
Yeah, kind
that
of
lines
like
up
the story, that
it, like the today. Sheep story, exactly. And those, it's amazing what the Lord meant. I will pour out my Spirit upon you. It's amazing the things that He will show you if you're looking,
get your eyes open.
You got your eyes open. You're humble enough to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
What does he say? Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, what shall be filled?
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you're hunger for, His Word promises that you will be filled. He will reveal that to you. Look, we see these times over and over again, and people and hear this phrase. Was it mysterious ways, God?
Oh, the Lord works in
mysterious
ways.
And that's just quite frankly not true.
No.
The Lord reveals Himself in so many of the mundane things of life, not a religious function, not a spiritual body function, but there's so many truths that He shows you. That, you know, when your heart's to receive, He can show you all kinds of things in all kinds of places.
Hey, if you want to know how the Lord works, read the book.
You read the book.
Yeah.
That's right.
It won't be such a mystery to you anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
There it is.
I wasn't agreeing that it was a mystery.
No, I understand.
I was just saying, you know, when you're ready to receive and willing to receive, then you don't just have to be in the service in there to get revelation knowledge of him and how he operates. He's there with you all the time. He's at hand.
Absolutely.
He's at hand. He's right there. He's available 24/7.
And you're right. And that's where, Dave, and it's interesting. I mean, just that work. Just that work. You're at work and it might not be the guy who's running it, it's not a Christian, none of those things. It's actually probably better for you anyway. Anyways, but remember when Davey was talking about that you can use all these things to learn his ways. I mean, all these things he'll set up. When you're in the Lord, he'll set up that boss over you that would be perfect for you, being a believer or not.
Yep.
And he can teach you through that. He's bigger than all this. If you're seeking him, you want to serve him and know his ways, he can use anything around you to learn that. At your home, your work, sure. Whatever. Those around you, what you come in contact with.
Absolutely.
Because he's bigger than all this. And
I've experienced that. And I know you have too.
Yeah.
And many others out there have. I mean, that's just what it is. It is what it is.
And it's true. Absolutely. And you can use your parents, children. You can use your employers, employees to learn to walk in his ways. Mm-hmm. Be obedient unto them as unto the Lord. Lord's going to reward you on that and show you more and more and more.
That obedience.
And you can learn that obedience by being obedient unto them, those ones that are over
you. You brought up the drill sergeant in service today. I mean, what that drill sergeant is teaching you is obedience.
Yeah.
You know, so that when you get to that battle and somebody says, go do this, go do that, pick that up, boom, you're there, you're there, you're there. And it's that obedience that will save lives, that will, you know, help you to overcome the enemy that you have before you.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things I did say in there that I did leave out, and I quote, was when I said, might get me killed and my brothers and sisters around me.
Yeah.
But also, what about those that we're fighting for?
Sure.
Gonna get them killed too. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting thing. I was watching, what movie was that? Oh man. It was actually a series of shows. It was, help me out here. It's the HBO series of World War II.
Band of Brothers?
Band of Brothers, that's it. They come across that concentration camp. Now, at this point, these guys, one, they were fighting for their brothers. They wanted to join. There was people lying. There was 16-year-old kids going in there saying they're 18 to go fight this war. They were about fighting for their country. So, one, they were doing it for people at home. They were doing it for their brothers. And then when they came to this place in the concentration camp, oh, my goodness. That was a new meaning to what they were fighting for. Because these people were starving. They were being left to just sit there and starve to death. They were getting burned alive. And they saw these camps. They realized how much bigger this battle was than them. Than not just for the brothers and sisters or the people at home, but what was going on. For who they were fighting for, it was way bigger than they ever imagined.
Sure.
And it was... That's where we got to come to a place. It's not...
Before they reached that point, it was kind of like a game in a sense for them, you know? Is that right? They kind of joke around. I mean, I understand there's fighting, there's killing, there's dying, and they're fighting for each other, but there wasn't a gravity and a seriousness to it. They didn't grasp the whole enchilada.
Right, they didn't. And the one of it is like, why are they putting us here? The fight. Right. I mean, we're opened up to be get shot at and bombed at. I mean,
right. And
what?
You bring that up, and as you're following the Lord, you might not understand why you're here, why you're there, why you're doing what you're doing. It doesn't matter. You don't need to know. Right? When it's time for you to know, he will show it to you. And then just like those soldiers walking into that concentration camp, and getting that weight of everything that was going on, that big picture view. Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, it was time for them to know, apparently. They found out.
Yeah.
You know, and there they were. But as you're following the Lord, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're painting the house, if you're mowing the grass, or if you're, you know, doing the big show, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you do your part, and you do it as unto the Lord, and you work, and you do that thing.
Amen. Absolutely. Because that act of obedience, you don't know who's that's helping, the fruit of that. You don't know
what enemy you're fighting, or what there is that's out there.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Watching TV, do it as unto the Lord. Yeah, I mean, even if
everything you do, do as unto the Lord. Lord.
Well, that was one of those shows that showed me some things.
Yeah. But I mean, it's about your motive, about your attitude in doing those things. If it's as unto the Lord, then He's going to open up. Right?
He can inhabit that.
He can inhabit that thing because it's your connectedness to Him. It's about you choosing Him. And it really doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter. Even if it's kickback time, it's just, I need a break.
As unto the Lord.
As unto the Lord.
I know we've had many of those, Paul, yeah. Where I've been 75 hours in, I come over here on a Saturday night or Sunday afternoon, I say, kickback time. What we do, it's as unto the Lord, and it's beneficial for both of us. Mm-hmm. We have time with one another. We join. We end up talking about some things that are important to talk about, get on the same page with some things, and then go about. We get a thing going that says, oh, man, we see a better way to go forward in the Lord in these different areas. And it all started on a kickback time.
And the amazing thing about those times, you go into them exhausted, barely open your eyes, don't want to move, and by the end of it, you're energized.
Amen. Exactly. Yeah, it's refreshed. Cool. It's like, poof, praise God. That's what I needed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We're only at 12:53.
Hey, we lost James. I'm tempted just to say, to wrap it. That's a pretty decent show, I thought. Is he going to come back?
Ah, yes.
The good thing about this, they get to hear all that. They get to hear all that on the recording and all over the air. Welcome back, James.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thank you. We've had bad internet here today.
Did you come back to say anything in particular, or if you didn't, then just say goodbye, and we'll do this again next week. Lord willing.
Well, I think an important thing to remember is if our will is to serve the Lord's and come in accordance with His will, when things are shown to us, is to receive it and not look at the person bringing it, to know that it is of the Lord, and through faith, the Lord is able to perform that in us, whatever the circumstance or thing.
That's right. Well, guys, are we done?
Yeah, I think James has the last word then.
That sounds like it. Whatsoever you do.
Do hardly
as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That'll cover just a whole multitude. The grace of that charge will cover a multitude of screw-ups. It will. That one's one you need to try. If you try that one, see if the Lord doesn't honor it. I believe He will. Alright, guys. This was almost fun. And, we will,
I had fun. I apologize if you didn't have fun.
It was real and it was fun. Sometimes together. until next time, then, y'all be safe, have a great week, and may the Lord bless you.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bless everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.